Welcome to the Cairns Writes Podcast, home of science fiction, fantasy, and horror author Michael Cairns, me. If you like what you hear today, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and download free sci-fi novella, Childhood Dreams. In episode 3 of Scarlet's Walk, our heroine became a performing monkey, escaped the underworld, and met the three sisters. Scarlet's Walk, episode 4. Do come into the light, won't you? She raised both eyebrows. Light? You're like blinding me. The woman who had spoken leaned forward and squinted at her. Scarlet stared back, taking in the leathery skin and gummy half-smile and eyes white with age. The staring contest was short. Whatever she could or couldn't see with those milky eyes, they made Scarlet's water and she looked down. When she glanced back up, the old woman was nodding. She has the sight, this one. Strong, too. She was addressing the other two women, but she turned her attention back to Scarlet now. You can switch it off, dearie. It's really very easy, you know. Blink a few times and remember how things normally look. Scarlet blinked, trying to see the darkness behind the women, and just like that, the glow was gone. It was replaced with shadows that jumped as she took a step forward, eyes fixed on the lamp that hung from the ceiling. It looked as old as the woman to whom she had spoken, but the light was bright and demanding. The other two turned now, and Scarlet squirmed as they stared at her. The nearest one, looking over the back of one of the sofas, looked like her mum, hair pulled back off her face and lines beginning to creep out from her eyes. The other, sat on the second sofa, turned her entire body and was, without putting too fine a point on it, breathtaking. Scarlet had conflicted feelings about this. She paid very little attention to boys, mostly because the ones at her school weren't worth talking to, but also because some of the girls were. The woman staring at her now was like everything she imagined a woman could look like, long, gorgeous hair, and a face she could stare at for, like, hours. She was really fit, and only a few years older than she was. Her mouth was open, and she shut it, cheeks reddening. The young woman smiled at her, and she grinned weakly in return, clutching her hands before her like she was in the head teacher's office. She was just amazing. Welcome, girl, what is your name? She opened her mouth to answer and closed it again, the words from the big man in the underworld coming back to her. She glanced at the three women, saw them waiting and swallowed. I'm Joanna. Yeah, Joanna Slater. Who are you? The three women kept staring, smiles spreading across their faces. The young one patted the cushion beside her. That is well done, Joanna. You are cautious already. Sad in one so young. Everyone is young in your eyes, sister. The old woman grunted, leaning back in her chair and reaching for a piece of wood that lay on a table beside her. It was a disc with grooves around the edge and thread dangling from it. The old woman settled into a rhythm, lifting first one thread and then another, fixing them into the grooves. The centre of the disc was hollow, and emerging slowly from it was a colourful piece of string, like a shoelace. Scarlet stared at it, mesmerised, until the woman sat beside her coughed quietly. Scarlet blinked and glanced around. The woman who looked like Mum, but wasn't, shook her head. That is not a game we play with, young one's sister, you know that. The old woman grunted again, and her movements lost their hypnotic rhythm. Scarlet looked around at the damp and dark and shook her head. Where the hell was she? Look, sorry, but I'm looking for someone. So, like, who are you, please?
Sisters, dearie, just like you. You may call me crone, it feels right these days.
Oh, hush now, that's not true. The middle-aged woman waved away the crone's words and placed her hand on her chest. You may call me the mother, which has always been suitable, and this is maid. Okay, so, like, what are you? The women looked at one another and back at her.
Sisters, dearie.
Scarlet stood, blinking, and stamped her foot. I'm cold, I'm hungry and tired. Everyone I've met has lied to me or wanted to kill me, so could you just speak normally, please? The maid reached out, resting her hand on Scarlet's arm and pulled her back down to sit on the sofa. She smiled, and Scarlet noticed for the first time that her teeth all ended in points. Sit down, sweetheart, and relax. You have asked our names and what we are. You have only 3 questions you may ask, so think about the last carefully. Scarlet's mouth opened and closed, and she clenched her fists, bringing one to her mouth where she bit down hard on her knuckles. How the hell was she ever going to put this in a status update? Thank God she wasn't on Twitter, there would be no chance. She took some deep breaths and closed her eyes and pictured her bedroom really hard. When she reopened them, the gently swinging lamp was still there, and 3 pairs of eyes still bore into her, waiting. She groaned, wrapping her hands over her stomach. Only 1 question. She knew what she had to ask, but she was so desperate to ask more. Who were these people? The crone was still knitting, hands moving slow and steady, and for the first time, Scarlet realized how quiet it was. She could hear the steady breathing of the women around her, the deeper scratch of air being hauled slowly into the crone's weak lungs. She was safe here, possibly. It felt safe, but it also felt safe like standing on the edge of a long drop. Where she stood was fine, but 1 step in the wrong direction and everything changed. I'm looking for my teacher. He's called Martin. Where is he, please? The sisters looked at one another, the maid rocking her head from side to side. Tell me, what does he mean to you? He's teaching me how to use magic. I saved Mum from hell, like, last month, so now he's showing me how to do all the stuff. That's what he is to you. But what does he mean to you? Who is he in here? The maid leaned forward and tapped her on the chest above her heart. She bit back the smart retort about hearts being some random bodily organ, that everything that mattered took place above the neck. That was one of those steps in the wrong direction. And she wasn't sure that down here it was completely true either. He's a friend, I think. I mean, I came here to find him, so I must care about him, I guess. But you don't know? The crone leant forward, hands speeding up, top lip curled in a sneer. How can you not know something so important? I haven't thought about it. I mean... She trailed off and the mother stepped in. Leave her be, poor thing. She's tired and hungry and come all this way. I'd say that tells us everything we need to know. Scarlet flashed her a grateful smile and sat back into the sofa. The mother nodded, leaning forward to pat her leg. Your friend is no longer here, although he was. The crone placed her sewing on the arm of the chair. Your teacher is with the council, answering questions he'd rather not be asked. Your man is not long for this world, although not through his own design. Scarlet blushed, staring at the maid. She shook her head. He isn't my man. I'm not even... She trailed off, her cheeks growing redder. How come he's with the council? They came looking for him. They couldn't find him. Sorry, dearie, you've had your 3. Perhaps the men who came looking weren't from the council. But... She stopped, blinking, feeling the cold drips of water as they struck her shoulder, sinking through her t-shirt. The lamp no longer swung, and was, in fact, a street lamp. She stood beneath the awning at the front of Dingwall's, staring up at the light. A couple of passers-by stared at her, muttering something about drugs, and she blinked again, dropping her head and wrapping her arms around her. The night was colder now, later, though how much later she didn't know. The rain had slackened off, a thin drizzle that promised to last for hours. She sighed, shaking her head, ropes of wet hair slapping gently against her cheeks. She knew where he was. Sort of. What now? Hello, love. You've been bloody hard to track down. I'll give you that. You want to come easy, then? She didn't have the chance to answer, as an arm came around her chest and a hand pressed against her nose, and the light blurred, then faded altogether.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and come back in a week for the next episode. You can also find me on Pinterest, Facebook, Goodreads, and Twitter, or email me at michael@cansrights.com.